Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Electric Wind, and it is the third day of the Yellow Sun Wave Spell, and it is the spectral moon, day 9. I am not hopping and jumping to be on the microphone today, so I want to take things a little slower than usual, counteracting the slow acceleration of time once more as people re-enter the everyday experience of being outside of their homes, which is not as predominant here on the West Coast as other places, but nonetheless, I can see that agitation and spring weather is translating to people taking more bold moves to be out in the world, and I am only witnessing that as difficult in terms of, again, the quickening of time, because we really got into a time lapse or time loop where everything was really retroactively slow, like the olden days. So I am learning to let go of attachment to that. I would like to reference that time as a perfect teaching, which I mentioned as it was happening, of the planetary moon that we passed through for 4 weeks when we are moving more at the speed of a glacial change than the speed of light, which was the solar moon before, and then this acceleration now could be maybe described as what happens when all the tension and turning from an ascent to a descent pitches us back to Earth in our annual wave form. So I talked about that quite a bit last podcast. I think I want to touch on it again here just to get myself anchored. Once again, we entered the spectral moon 9 days ago. The spectral tone is always the one stage undoing of a 10 stage growth surge or growth incline that preceded it. So 10 stages, 10 tones, they're called, of moving towards the sun, essentially in a wave form, and then one day of undoing it, and then one stage, because we're here speaking about 13 moons in a year. So it is really, I don't know that it's really fast in terms of like racing from one point to the other, because it's a sheer drop in a way. And so there isn't any active like musculature we use in the spectral tone. We are outside our own volition being moved from one place to the other. So usually that doesn't feel like you know, riding a surge. That feels like everything that's carrying us disappearing and us being left to the chances and the fate of whatever, you know, divine orientation has in mind for us, which is kind of a complicated way of saying that when we're in free fall, I wouldn't say that it feels like we're being held. It feels like we're being dropped. So again, like you could say that you feel carried by spirit or the creator of much of your life, but right now it's more of a trust exercise. When you had 10 stages of kind of being cradled by divine intent or a power greater than yourself, and that power isn't gone right now. It's just teaching a different lesson, the one of, you know, like maybe a kind of divine detachment. But also, I just like to think of it, even though I believe that we're all in the spectral moon, no matter whether you follow the calendar or not, it could be looked at this way. Like, you get this time where the attention is not on you because maybe someone else needs the divine attention. As if divinity, the God force, is sort of parental and attends to all these little baby beings in their infancies. And we've had all of this outpouring of care and protection, and now we have to just sort of wait the way a child can wait, either in a place of peace or even crying out. You know, they want to be attended to, but they have to learn about timing and access and the limitations of that which would soothe them. And so the spectral moment, and it's extended over 28 days, of course, in this moon, to me, has that kind of methodology behind it. It's not the absence of a caring, loving, protecting, nurturing God. It is just a moment of sort of necessary separation or individuation, and we're not autonomous in any way because we're in free fall. We're not in control. That's sort of the bottom line of the spectral tone. It's a loss of control, and that surrender, collapse, is one of the most beautiful exercises, again, in trust, but it is an exercise in trust because we don't feel situated, cradled, and you know, in a sanctuary at this time. It's a little more raw and rough, and it's fast moving, but it's fast moving in that way of dropping off the side of a cliff into water, or tumbling. You know, I was laughing with a friend because I'm now of the age that if I do things that I used to do, like I really like creek walking, when you walk in a creek bed from rock to rock. And when I was little, there was never a question of agility to do that. But I'm now of the age where, like, I slip and fall in the water almost every time once. And it just makes me kind of giddy because it's such a sign of my limbs being less automated by my brain, or my brain having less tight automation of my limbs because I'm aging and, you know, things aren't happening as quickly. And I think that's very spectral, just sort of like, yeah, there's a lack of control that's not necessarily the greatest danger, but it's inconvenient. And in the inconvenience, we learn how, again, to slow down even though things are moving fast. Like, that moment of chaos is often when our minds are the most focused, and you can feel that tension on the spectral moon as well. Well, I did go off on a tangent. I said I was going to slow things down, which to me means not getting all like amped up in my metaphors, but it happened anyway. So let's leave the spectral moment for now, because I took as much time as I think is necessary on it. We're in the second week of it, and so things are spacious and oriented to spirit, and the absence of physicality, the absence of emotionality, the absence of mental, you know, acuity or fast-paced flame of a new idea that comes when we're in the other direction. So, of course, last week was rising sun in the east, and so in terms of the 28-day moon, we would have gotten a lot of insight, illumination, the fire of the mind being enhanced. And then now we give it up to spirit, and our own spirit takes over. So I think we're accessing kind of what is our karmic agenda, getting that organized and getting dialed into our spirit guides. And all that seems to happen in a non-cognitive way. It's just the openness, the vastness of the north direction that lives in the second week of each moon. So you can feel a little lost and disconnected, I think, even in that time, because, you know, what am I feeling? I don't feel anything. My mind isn't really focused, or it's not coming up with new fiery insight. And, you know, maybe I feel detached from my body, which is in the south, and, you know, opposite this time in the place of spirit in the north. But anyway, we have 5 days of that to grok. And then Simultaneously, we're in the yellow sun wave spell, which is kind of where I wanted to spend a moment of my own reflection, because the first thing I'm noticing about the yellow sun wave spell is that it is hard to figure out where love is in the time of enlightenment. And the way that that's depicted in the calendar, in the Dzogchen 260-day count, is that yellow sun is our right thumb, and then white dog is our left thumb, because I'm looking at the opposites, the antipode, the partner of opposition, that relationship, which is defined for every one of us. We have our tribe of birth, and then the opposite finger or toe is our antipode, which is a weird word. It just means, you know, opposite and balancing power. It is a power of ours, each of us at birth, and each day that passes has an opposite and balancing power, always defined by the opposing finger or toe. And again, the metaphor there is not, you know, opposition because it's unlike us. It's not opposites attract. I mean, maybe it is. It's opposites attract if you say that people can be situated in opposite places, but they're very similar and they're attracted to each other because of their similarities. Let me let go of the romance metaphor and just say, in natural time, in the Mayan teaching, the way I speculate is that you are balanced by the other thing that is the most like yourself, but it is also distanced apart from you. So you have to reach, you know, across distance, you have to bridge gaps, you have to evolve to find that perfect partner that is really your mirror. So think of your thumbs, they're so easy to see. Your right thumb and your left thumb look more like each other than any of your fingers or toes. So there they are. They are like twins, but they're drawn apart most of the time, obviously, by the space of how your body aligns. And we bring them together, and then that's the whole goal of antipode relationships. When it's yourself, you've got to find your antipode energy in the calendar and, as they say, I don't even know where that comes from, lean into it, and also, explore that if you, let's use this one, you know, if yellow sun reaches towards white dog, a yellow sun person, a yellow sun day that we live in, we want to reach toward white dog, and so that we don't have the yellow sun experience be just all fire, all enlightenment, all rarefied, you know, creator energy. So let me break that down a little, because I was trying to start by talking about the yellow sun wave spell. Yellow sun is the 20th day of 20. It is the arrival point in enlightenment. It is the finish of the journey that started at Red Dragon. We move through 20 day names, 20 archetypes, and it is from gestation in the womb all the way to ascension that ends our life, or, you know, phases in our life where we feel ourselves moving from insemination, conception, all the way to full-blown actualization. So, you know, when we strive for enlightenment as hobbyists or enthusiasts, it's because we really want to, find ourselves closest we can come to the energy of Creator. And I love that it's yellow sun in natural time, because it's just sort of the simplest way to assess or describe God, actually, is just the sun itself, because it is the giver of life and light. And it's rarefied. It's not for human, you know, access. You can't get that close. But at its distance, it is the most reliable force. It is ever present in the way that it rises. And it is what allows us to grow, what allows us to be warm. So it's all of that. It's a guide and a nurturer. So just use yellow sun sometimes, or I will, to, you know, ascribe some kind of picture of God. And that means that when we get to yellow sun in our count of 20, we are with God, and we have God in ourself. Like, we become the priest and the Mayan, and I would say, you know, sort of actual Mayan experience back in the indigenous moment, that yellow sun was also the picture of the priest who wore the sun mask, the mask of the sun, and represented sun on earth for the people. And so this day, this way of spell is all of that. It is the quality of enlightenment, the quality of, you know, attaining enlightenment, the source of enlightenment, the source of all life, and also when we can sort of represent that source in our movements on earth. So it is a really great moment. I mean, yellow sun wave spell. I'm trying to figure out, like, what wouldn't be great about the yellow sun wave spell. For those of us who, like, follow an esoteric podcast, you know, buried in Spotify or wherever you access it, like, this is not a, you know, Apple favorite. And so if you're listening to me talk, then I think you're already someone who's comfortable seeking, aiming for qualities of enlightenment in your life. And not because I'm some source code for all that, but because that is what natural time is. It's a super rarefied, esoteric, unpopularized, magical way to be in time, the evolution of days, you know, sort of strung together by magical synchronicity. So I don't think anyone listening is going to be like, oh, the yellow sun wave spell always buries me. The way it would bury people is if they're not interested in light. They're attracted to darkness, or they want to stay in all the time. And I don't mean quarantine, but just more like, you know, not nature lovers, you know, would rather have light come from a screen or from a light switch. So that everything is removed from the source, then yellow sun would maybe be an ache or a shattering of resistance, because something in their lives would shift so that they were forced to look at what God is to them. Again, God being whatever you would describe it, whatever they would describe it, but being forced to have an examination of divinity. And you would think, like, well, Lisa, you talk about divinity every podcast. And because I suppose that I think that you can be in a red moon day or a blue monkey day or a yellow seed day and still be marking where divinity is by the synchronicities that you're shown connected to the day. So God, as we describe it individually, is present every day of the calendar through the way we can see spiritual patterns overlaying our physicalized carnal lives. But yellow sun is one of the pivotal moments where the presence of God, the seeking of enlightenment, is focal. There are a couple others that I'll throw out there just so you know that I am aware that I talk about this more than in the yellow sun moment. Like, white wind and red dragon are both really strong for finding parental divinity. Clearly one is mother, the other father. I also think white wizard, which we are in a white wizard year and a 13-year wave spell, is really strongly illustrative of what happens when we live in proximity to a belief in God with such devotion that we can carry the presence and healing powers of God, you know, into our bodies as shaman, medicine people, or, you know, into our shelter, our sanctuary that we offer to others. And I'm probably forgetting a couple of others. But, like, you know, I'm a blue storm, and I don't think of blue storm as a day that's connected to divinity. I don't. I think of it as a means to reconnect to divinity, because it's always one day before yellow sun. Blue storm precedes yellow sun, and it is the big gesture that has, of course, a supernatural source. You know, nature is in and of itself uncontrolled by humans, which is what I guess I'm calling supernatural outside of our realm of, you know, we can't have hierarchy in the supernatural world. It teaches us that we are diminutive. But a storm is there to blow away the obstructions between ourselves and the sun. So it always is the last. It's like the penultimate moment, but the sun is the ultimate moment. And then again, yellow sun is the thread back to Red Dragon, because it's always a continuous cycle. From the final point, Yellow Sun, we are also starting again in Red Dragon. And so we rise to the light when we die, but we also are a seed of light when we begin in conception. You know, it's like we're a light, we're traveling in light, and then our parents grab us with their karma of copulation, and we become a little seed of our eternal self in our mother's womb. For me, that's just like science, you know. That's how I would teach it. Maybe you have a different representation, but the idea the Maya are presenting is their circularity in Yellow Sun. It is the ultimate arrival point, and also the place from which we begin. So in this Yellow Sun time, I think you can tell from how I'm speaking, things are kind of spiritually rarefied, in the sense that I don't think they're very grounded in mammalian experience, which we might also call everyday reality. And that's where we come back to White Dog. White Dog is the antipode, the opposite of Yellow Sun. And I was noticing, like, I don't know about my human relationships right now. I don't really feel like talking to a bunch of people. I am dropping, you know, my phone contacts that come through as my little sustenance in quarantine. I'm not that interested in my own story or others. And I mean, I'm probably more interested in others' stories, but I don't solicit, you know, what's going on with you, because I have almost nothing going on besides this feeling of, you know, ether, this feeling of being right in the sunbeam rather than waiting for it or seeing shadow and light. I just feel light. And again, this is not true. Like, it's not sunny where I live. It's foggy. It's overcast. It's not joy that I'm talking about. It's just sort of equanimity. Like, something about Yellow Sun takes away all the nuances of, like, human up and downness, because it is so strongly a light source that, again, shadows are obliterated, and human experience and mood swings and senses of suffering is all based on shadow and light, that polarity. I want to get back to the light, or this is too much light, so I'm going to go down into the shadows. Like, we have a lot of free will that orients us into the shadow realm, but we also get sucked into the shadow realm and, you know, crave the light. So that's like the dichotomy of a human dilemma. And that's removed right now. It's sort of neutralized. And so what is it to live in the Yellow Sun time? It's just a little abstract. And that can be super comfortable. It's part of the reason I am glad to be podcasting, because we can name it and just be like, well, it's a trippy time. It's not like being high in the disorientation that we get from mind and mood alterance. Instead, it's just like being beyond the experience of human or mammalian or earthen life. It's just, again, it's pretty pure. It is like dying and being in that moment of being carried back to source. It is like being a little seedling of light, not sure, you know, how to contemplate or cognate anything that's coming. It's an in-between place. And it's strange in the wave spells of the Dzogchen, because it's not the last Dzogchen wave spell. It's right here up front in the first quartet of wave spells. You know, I talk about this from time to time, that the wave spells... Whoa, I don't, something fell. The wave spells are always red, white, blue, yellow. And there are five sets of four wave spells that make up the Dzogchen. And this Yellow Sun wave spell is the completion of the first set or quartet. And that is oriented to the east. And so the first four wave spells that come in the Dzogchen are in the eastern direction. So we spend 52 days essentially like in the fire of our mind, with new ideas and illumination, and how perfect that we kind of wrap that up in the fire of the universe. The universe is fire, universal fire. The Yellow Sun wave spell then is not at the end. It's sort of just wrapping up the first stage of the East and that mental illumination. And so it isn't as if we have arrived at a capitulation point in terms of the 260-day Dzogchen. I just wanted to reference that as how when we get to the Yellow Sun day in the 20-day cycle, that's sort of the representation. It's ending and beginning in one unit. But Yellow Sun, the experience, as I said, doesn't feel very earthen. I can't find where my human relationships are supposed to live, and it makes them feel like maybe they don't exist. And some of the relationships that are, you know, extant, surviving this little window that has just begun of the Yellow Sun experience, are the relationships with people that are the most, for me, spiritual in nature, where what we want to talk about when we get together isn't really, it isn't very shadowy. It's sort of these bonds that are arriving right now are kind of my light sources in my life. And it's lovely to imagine that I am that for someone else. It's hard for me to imagine it, but it means that, you know, someone reaching out to me in the Yellow Sun moment might consider me a light source. So look for that. And I think what I wanted to counsel, because I'm always just manipulating things and counseling myself while being publicly aired to a handful of listeners, is that, you know, here's what I'm doing. I'm like, well, wait, I don't feel like I'm in love with anyone. You know, I can't find that little white dog loyalty that's like heart-centered, you know, almost like the beholden love crushed feeling. Can't get into this way spell. Like, oh no, I'm not dreamy. I'm not pining. I'm not anticipating. And, you know, we could call it romance, or we could just call it like even the agape, you know, the non-eros form of love, where you're just devotional to another in friendship or in parenthood, or in, you know, they're your sibling. Like, just that attachment is getting washed away by this strong force of light and heat. And so to embrace the antipode is how to create balance. And I'm not sure what the answer is, but it's what I'm questing for here on day three of a long wave spell that's considered my analog, meaning my supportive tribe. So, you know, why would it be a struggle for me when I'm in my support? And I have this inquiry, like, well, I just want to make sure I live this wave spell in balance. So I'm going to reach towards, you know, I have that joke of having four dogs and three of them are white. One is more gray, but she has white markings. And so this little dog pack of white dogs, I put my attention there pretty hard because, I mean, it's so boss to live with wilder animals than the human. They look domesticated, but, you know, they do a lot of things that humans don't. And so to be in their presence is very helpful in this time, in any time of seeking enlightenment, to be close to the animal kingdom, which a lot of us know. And I think some of the best of us, in terms of not being like pious and arrogant in our spiritual pursuit, are very much nature lovers, you know, looking at everything from ladybugs to frog life, you know, whatever we encounter, deer, things that we find when we're drawn out into the natural world become really strong points of illumination. I think that that is a very balanced way to seek or be in enlightenment, as opposed to, and no huge criticism, but just that representing like religion, where you're in a church full of people and pictures and ancient words. You know, there is another form of enlightenment that feels more innate to me and organic, which is drawing from what I see when I'm in the wilder parts of the planetary world. So again, Yellow Sun can be a time when you're drawn out into nature and you focus, you fixate on what you see. Like today I saw a seal, and my dog saw the seal, and my dogs and the seal were communicating in their way. And, that calms me down when things get a little like hot with heady contemplation of God, and I can get disoriented because it's a spectral moon and it is this time of rarefied light, intense heat without shadows. Sometimes we don't know where we are. So the last thing is to just be patient, Lisa Starr and others, with like not having an understanding of our human relationships that are based in white dog teachings of love and loyalty, tribe, you know, to feel disconnected either from society or relationships that have been pretty steady, feeling losses or disconnection. Part of that's the spectral moon, making us not sure, you know, where we're going to land when we're done spinning in the royal of a free fall. And the other is the yellow sun moment of just, you know, offering us the balance to how we do love in a mammalian way. It's not just that we need to reach for the antipode of white dog to create balance in the yellow sun wave spell, but that if we love really hard and heartfully in life, or we've trained ourselves to seek that kind of love, you know, all those attachments and loyalty and abeyance and deference that comes with white dog, devotional love also needs to be infused at times with pure light, burning off attachments, burning off weakness, dependency, codependency. And so this is a time of fortifying us in the other direction, where we are strong light sources and seekers of light, you know, like the proverbial solar battery store. You know, we've got to fill up in this time as it's offered, and that will help our human / mammalian relationships, attachments, when we come to the end of this time. Hey, I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.